Second hour, Robbie and Rex show here on 102.5 The Game, Friday edition. PK in for Robbie Stanley, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. The Robbie and Rex Road program is presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We're talking the Tennessee Titans, finally. Although, again, PK, if you'd like to drift back into Mad Men, Yacht Rock, CPAP,
my
you know,
friend,
USMNT, you know, that we can do that.
My friend Alex Keltner of the Paul Kuharsky Starting 22 says...
Uh-oh, he's a Starting 22, man.
He says that, and we talk a lot of Yacht Rock in here. These guys talk a lot of Yacht Rock.
Okay.
And he says that Steely Dan is one of the bands he references when explaining Yacht Rock, so he for sure says they're in.
Yeah, look, I mean, again...
What kind of things are discussed about Yacht Rock?
You got to watch the doc. You really do.
It's a YouTube doc?
He said it was HBO Max.
It sounds like it's on HBO Max, Hulu.
That
I think
makes
you
sense.
Can find it on YouTube.
That makes sense. It's HBO Max. Yeah, it's great. But it's like the people who basically created the term and probably trademarked it and did the show, and they have set criteria on what qualifies and what doesn't as Yacht Rock. And yes, Steely Dan does, much to Steely Dan's chagrin.
Oh, they qualify.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the point, is that they called him to try to be on the dock, and he was basically like, you know, go
this
fart
is
yourself.
Fagan?
Yeah. Yeah, Fagan is a great musician. Love his music.
Recluse
seems like,
and angry.
Seems like a bit of a curmudgeon, if I'm being kind. So, but yeah, Steely Dan absolutely is Yacht Rock. But again, I like...
Is there a number one criteria in your book to be Yacht Rock? Like, is it a type or is it a sound?
Yeah, I think the number
that are being used.
Gotcha.
The number one criteria is it has to play well when you're out on your yacht.
That is true.
I mean there's certain music if you're on the yacht and everyone goes, no, get this right. off.
If you're wearing a
then you're not Yacht Rock.
If you're wearing a captain's hat and you've got, you know, some champagne and a cigar.
Right.
And you're chilling.
And you say, turn that off.
Yeah, you're not going to play. Like, I love, you know, Pixies or Foo Fighters. You're not playing that. You're playing.
Toto.
Michael McDonald. Yeah, Africa by Toto. Exactly. Yacht Rock.
I got to watch.
Or Baby Come Back. That's a great one.
I have to watch it. The problem is, I have to say this. The problem is, I can't watch anything but soccer right now. Like, I don't even know what the Yankees are doing. They've been completely set aside.
So you're watching all these matches.
Oh God.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of it too. But that's good. You can it'll be there for you. It'll be there.
This is one of those like already, and it's only about half done. I'm preparing for the crash. Like I'm like, my God, when this is over, what am I going to do with myself?
Well, that's the thing. When we play for the championship on July 19th, you're a week out from training camp. Boom.
Please.
Hey, I'm keeping an open mind, man. I'm keeping an open mind. I am. With my limited soccer knowledge.
You need a shirt. Get yourself a shirt.
Okay, I'll get one.
By the way, he looked down. I said, you need a shirt. And he looked down.
Do I have the stain on here?
At his Dooley's East Lansing shirt.
Dooley's East Lansing. Doesn't exist anymore. What used to be my favorite bar. U2 played there in 1979. U2 played Spartan Stadium in 2011, and Bono's like, "Is Mr. Dooley still around?" I'm not kidding you. Said that to
my college gang. One of my friends, Kieran, worked for McShane's Plumbing out on Long Island, where he lived one summer or something, and he had the greatest shirt. It was McShane's Plumbing. It had a toilet on it. It said, "We keep your plumbing humming." And we're all like, we must have these shirts. You got to get McShane to give you these shirts. We will spread the gospel of McShane's plumbing all over the country.
Free ads.
And we never got them. And we still talk about all the time how McShane screwed us.
But they just got a free ad here, as did Dooley's.
I don't know if McShane has passed it on to his boys or if it folded up.
Interesting. Jason Gillisville's Christopher Cross, absolutely. Sailing, that is Yacht Rock. That might be the lead song. Yeah. I mean, he actually wears a captain hat in like a video.
When you sail out, that's the song. That's pretty much, exactly.
All right, so Titans, we have talked about, again, I made it Mount Rushmore to make fun of talk radio in the summer, but the four people who give you the most optimism, I went Borgonzi, Saleh, Dable, Simmons. You went Borgonzi.
Cam.
Solidable. Cam. Okay. So now the people who give you the most pause that make you think they just might not get out of this, right? I mean, there are a lot of fan bases around the NFL who would start with the person that, of course, is on this, Amy Adams Strunk, right?
Cosign.
Is she going to do something to derail things? I mean, it's a fair question to ask until she stops doing that.
And, for a long period of time.
Right. Okay, so for me, okay, my next one, I'm going J.C. Latham because I just think that if that fails, if he fails, you are in a real pickle with both tackles needing to be addressed. It just – to get out of this, you have to hit on some picks, and it's possible. They could hit on four straight first-rounders. It's possible. And again, I'm talking about the last two plus Latham Skronsky. But Latham's a big, big question mark. And to me, if he doesn't solidify himself as a starter, as a second contract guy, again, you are tackleless for the future. And then it cuts into other things that you really need to address in order to get yourself actually competitive.
Right. You already need a left. If you need a right, it really just set you back.
I mean, I think he's the most important non-Cam player on the team this year. My third is Femi Oladejo. Now, can they, if Falk ends up being really good, okay, then that minimizes that. The Titans' last rise happened with Kevin Dodd as a complete zero, as a second-round pick, and they were fine. It happens. But it's still not a good thing if a second-round pick fails that much in a similar fashion, and there are other challenges that this era right now has that one didn't. So I'm going there, and then I've got Cam, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a what are you doing, okay? But I'm also not a Cam do. I'm a Cambivalent. I'm switching to Cambivalent. Thank you, Dennis. Shout out to Dennis. But I just right now he is just a little bit more on the giving pause to me than he is on the optimism to me, and this season is going to dictate that.
I like what you did there very much. I think that's a very good four. I went Cam, well, Amy first. Cam, who I put on both lists. As Cam goes, so goes the season, so goes the team. Offensive line, I felt compelled to pick a representative, and I like your Latham. But I picked Austin Schlotman as a representative of center / right guard. So
that's kind of short term, though, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, they don't have a lot invested in him. I mean, it could screw up this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of looking for at least one solution in there, right? But I think Latham's a better choice. But if they could lock down one guy in the middle there and reduce it to one need, I mean, hell, if you're talking Latham and Schlotman or Volson or Slater don't pan out, you're looking for three, four starters next year? I mean, my God.
Yeah.
I do have a lot of faith in Brasillo. I've talked to a lot of people about Brasillo, and they really love him. But, I mean – and he's an up-and-comer. He's still, there's more career coming than there has been.
Compare your optimism about him, seriously, right now to Bill Callahan. It still doesn't match
Callahan
it, right?
Bill Callahan was a giant get.
Giant.
So, you have to be skeptical. But my fourth concern, and people aren't going to like this, is Robert Saleh. He's a good coach. He's a great coordinator. But and the Jets were a messed up situation, but he did not win football games. He has not won football games. And I think, we're caught up in the moment. It's the offseason excitement and all that, and he sounds good. And I think he's a really good guy, really solid guy, and a very solid defensive mind. But he had not, no matter how bad the circumstances were with the Jets, unlocked a winning formula. He could have won more with the Jets. He didn't have to win a lot. But he could have won more. And I'm a little scared of, does he know how as a head coach to unlock what it takes to win football games?
No, that's good. I kind of regret not having him on both twos. I have him on the optimism. He really should be on both. And, yeah, there were some things. We've talked about it many times, but you're worried about stuff that just doesn't matter at all. It really does. You just need to do your job, and he's way too worried about that stuff. And I understand how I'm sure it – well, I don't understand it, but I'm sure –
What do you think he's worried about that doesn't matter?
Well, the media crap, trying to figure out, oh, who's the mole and all this stuff. It's like, come on, man.
Well, that's not been here.
No. So, I'm saying with the Jets, but right. That is one of those things that you look at and say, you hope you learn from that.
Yeah.
But then also I'm out here and some of these restrictions now, you know, on media, and it's like
– I don't think that's him. I mean, I don't think he
– But he could change it.
I don't think he resisted it, but I think it's Borgonzi.
That's a Borgonzi thing.
Yeah, and let's talk about it again. I don't know if I brought it up here after these practices. But – and if I did, I'll repeat myself. You know, they're predominantly on the far field, if people know it, because the near field was under construction, all right? There was one practice where two plays were made in the left corner, and we could only be at the 50-yard line. And then players are standing on the sideline in front of us. We found out, the media collectively, one touchdown thrown into that left corner from a PR guy who was standing down there, who had to text another PR guy. So we found out a touchdown score via text. And then another one, really unknown, I was walking in, and there were two Titans who I did not recognize off a 90-man roster, which is going to happen. And I said, hey, did you guys see who scored that last touchdown? They said, oh, yeah, it was Hank Beatty. Or Hank Beatty. I don't know if it's Beatty or Beatty. So I'm out there for a living watching a two-hour practice. Watching a two-hour practice, and to find out what happened, I need to text with the PR guy and ask players. So, I mean, it's reporting. But to report on the practice, I need to send texts and interview players to find out who scored touchdown. It's just a stupid, dumb setup.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. If you think I'm whining, yeah, I'm whining. I'm out there to see practice. Put me in a place where I can see practice.
Yeah, it's... You know, to me, it goes against what the NFL has led the way. And yes, access is our friend, you know, because if you want to dominate the news cycle at all times, you want people to have incentive to go to practice and watch it because they actually see something and get any sort of information or insight. And you want them to be able to talk to people and talk to different people, build relationships, be able to tell stories, whatever. I mean, I know it goes on and on. It's like if they're bad, then the fans will agree, and if they're good, fans are like, yeah, leave, you know, cut them out. But it's silly, and we also have, PK, multiple requests here. We have a Mount Rushmore of the worst Titans of all time. You think about that one. And Taylor in Bellevue needs a Mount Rushmore of Yacht Rock songs before the end of the show. So I think we can produce that for you. We come back. We'll keep going on the Titans. Reasons for optimism and pessimism. 102.5 The Game, Robbie and Rex Road. Oh, hell yeah. Welcome back, Robbie Rex. I want to 2-5 The Game. Now, can you name this band, PK? What an absolute yacht rock jam.
I don't have it.
Anyone?
But I'm proud to not know some yacht rock. I will say that.
That is Starbuck with Moonlight Feels Right, which I believe has the best xylophone solo in music history. So check out the whole song.
I'm proud not to know a song that would include the best xylophone.
I mean, they are rocking the xylophone in that one. That's a great song. Thank you, Ian. Welcome back in. People are asking for Mount Rushmore's just galore now, which is great.
I like it.
This turns into the Mount Rushmore show.
I've got four worst off the top of my head.
Although I do have someone who said, PK and Joe better start fighting or I'm gout of here. The problem is when Robbie is here and runs the program, I can focus on ripping you. But when I have to be microphone one, for example, today the Nashville Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers at First Horizon Park, first pitch 6:35. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, Mad Fireworks, and Social Cantina. Gwinnett, Triple A, Philly, Atlanta Braves. See, I have to like do things. I have to be responsible. And I just, it's harder to rip on you.
Also, yesterday I tweeted about being in a good mood. Like, I'm working on my courses.
I saw that. You're like, life is good. I'm like, what is happening with this guy?
I went for a walk. I thought maybe you scooted.
Maybe you took a couple puffs off.
Listened to some new music. I don't do that. Watched some soccer. Had a big church event. My kid finished up his intensive month of baseball. Going to go watch him play this afternoon and put some of that stuff to work. Things are pretty good right now. Outside of me being fat and anticipating my own CPAP machine.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, it's...
You and I could do the CPAP Chronicles. Hey, listen, anybody wants to sponsor a blog? A pod.
CPAP pod?
Yeah. I mean, Stilly and Paulie have been talking about that again, but the CPAP Chronicles could be magic.
That could be.
We could do them talking from underneath our CPAP machine. So on Mount Rushmore of the worst Titans ever. I mean, that could be some compelling. We need a CPAP sponsor.
Watch that microphone.
Yeah, I need a soda, by the way.
Last night. Okay, I got you. Next break. Last night I was wearing my mask, you know, to get ready and to get used to it. And so I was like, Katie, you know, we're watching the
I'm
soccer.
Darth Nihilus.
We're watching the soccer game, and you know, Katie's like asking me questions. I'm like, rawr, 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 rawr. Yeah. So that
what did she think of the whole experience? The slobber.
Well, that was my.
I think you got to keep a towel or a bucket near the bed, the CPAP bucket. Ian?
Sounds gross.
I think I need a bucket that has a fire.
And then Caroline, clear the bucket. Did you do your chores? Oh, yeah, I took out the garbage and I cleaned up around the city. But what about the CPAP bucket?
One more on the
list. Dad, I'm not clearing the CPAP bucket.
That sounds just awful. By the way, so a texter says that's a marimba solo. That's a marimba? Are you sure?
No, you're marimba.
Chris says that's one of the best songs of my life, and I'm so on point with the xylophone. It is a xylophone. Is a marimba sound like a xylophone?
Somebody do some research.
We are learning
a lot. Get the research department on this.
All right, give me your Mount Rushmore, the worst Titans ever.
All right, this is just off the top of my head. And look, Isaiah Wilson absolutely has to be on there. He played four snaps. They weren't a good four snaps. Those four offensive snaps. And I immortalized a point after snap where he was put flat on his ass.
That was an Indy, wasn't it? Was that an Indy?
Ever captured. I'm not sure. You think
Isaiah Wilson's got to be on there.
You think that Dennis Daly might be here. You think that Andre Dillard might be here. If you not remember Will Svitek, who has put one-on-one with J.J. Watt by Ken Wisenhunt, that is the pinnacle.
But it's kind of unfair, right? Like, he was made to look probably worse than he is, right? Just terrible coaching.
You are your situation. Will Svitek is the worst offensive lineman who ever played snaps.
That game combined with Jeremiah Patasi was awful.
And it got Ken Wisenhunt fired. Now I get a little bit more personal. Bleedy Ray Wilson, just on the Andy Dalton play alone with TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Okay, explain it.
It was, you know, they gave the ball to Houshmandzadeh to throw it to Dalton. And Bleedy Ray Wilson had two options in Cincinnati to either intercept the ball or destroy Andy Dalton. He got caught in between both, and so it turned into an Andy Dalton touchdown. He had so little ball awareness. But he actually had like maybe 6-7 year career. But it was a testament to the thinness of defensive backs in the league. And maybe my personal least favorite player ever was Antonio Andrews, who just was not an NFL running back. And they insisted on playing as a lead NFL running back. He was slow, he had no vision, he had no playing personality, He was the most miscast guy, and they somehow insisted on giving him the ball. He was awful. This was at a time where they just...
Don't Bishop Sankey?
We're not. Bishop Sankey made Antonio Andrews. Antonio Andrews made Bishop Sankey look like a second round pick. Antonio Andrews was just, I don't know what they were thinking.
Another Wisenhunt special.
Yeah.
I got votes for Mettenberg, Locker, Snead.
Snead is a quality NFL player who's at the end of his rope.
Yeah, and he'll probably go be good again now. Vic Beasley is not a bad choice.
Here's the thing I heard about Vic Beasley.
Pretty bad Titan.
I give Vic Beasley a little bit of a pass. Here's why. And Vic Beasley was terrible.
But he was good in Atlanta.
Jonathan Joseph was terrible. But Vic Beasley played good NFL football. And I heard after the fact that Vic Beasley, and I'm not sympathetic to this kind of stuff, but you have to put it in the mix. Vic Beasley, his head was really messed up by the COVID stuff. And I think there are some guys in the league that, like, when that thing came out, they didn't really understand it. The protocols freaked them out. They had somebody that was sick in their family that they were worried about, and they just kind of pulled back, and they were like, this whole thing is just like, I'm not really that excited about football right now, given all of the circumstances. And I heard from somebody that I trust who was involved with him that COVID really effed with Vic Beasley.
Okay. Kevin Dodd is another.
Kevin Dodd was.
Is another, certainly. And terrible. We've already talked about him multiple times. Chris Henry, Dennis is throwing
Chris Henry,
out there.
Terrible. I mean, we could spend a whole show just throwing out terrible
Let's
Titans.
Let's talk terrible Cody, Titans.
Cody Sensabaugh. I've got a Lamont Thompson. I mean, Lamont Thompson was okay for a year or two, and then he became just atrocious. And I kept asking Jim Schwartz, like, why are you playing this guy? There's got to be something better. And he's like, he's your white whale, huh? And I was like, yeah, I just can't stand him. and there was no accountability with Lamont Thompson. Like, other guys just got yelled. Deron Jenkins, who could be on this list, and Perry Phoenix, you know, they just called him dumb and they rode him. And Lamont Thompson just was like, happy go easy. And nobody ever said anything. He was just like, fine.
Keep weighing in with your worst Titans ever. There's so many different Mount Rushmores we're working with today. You can hit any of them. We will get to the Yacht Rock one. But coming up next, PK wants to talk a little Caitlin Clark. Robbie and Rex show 1025 the game. Oh, yeah.
Woo! Let's get down. The thing that's missing from this Yacht Rock for all of us is the yacht.
I know. We need a yacht. But just like Christopher Cross, there he is. A godfather of Yacht Rock himself. Welcome back, Robbie Rex, 1025 the game. Tennessee Brew Works is the official craft beer of the football offseason coverage on ESPN 1025 the game. Raise a glass with Tennessee Brew Works, proud partner, official craft beer of the football offseason coverage.
I don't know enough people with yachts, and my All-22 group, for a long time, we had a guy that didn't work out early who talked a lot of smack like he had a jet. And we were going to jet off to, like, go see a game at Wrigley or something like that. So now,
Jet Rock.
On the occasion that we have an opening and I bring somebody new in, the first thing everybody asks is, do you have a jet? And
yeah.
We keep striking out. No jets.
Well, yeah, hopefully someone get in there. I mean, apparently you have a.
I have an opening. If you have a jet, let's talk.
A jet, a yacht. You just got a long text from someone who gave you all the Yacht Rock. Oh, the Yacht Rock.
Some names I don't know.
Players. Well, he just played. He played. Baby, come back.
I can't know the song. Birdie Higgins. I don't know.
I don't know that.
Rupert Holmes.
Yeah. Rupert Holmes is Escape. Pina Colada song.
Okay. Firefall. Paul Davis.
Yeah. Paul. Cool Night. Cool Night.
Bob Welch.
Yeah.
Gave up some homers to Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, but different Bob Welch.
Ace.
Yes.
Now, he would include Hall & Oates, my expert.
So, if you watch the Yacht Rock.
Are they in or out?
I believe they don't qualify. I don't remember why.
Now, Hall & Oates, I mean.
Well, Hall & Oates is like, I mean, my Twitter account has the Hall & Oates helpline where you just call the number and they'll play a Hall & Oates song to make you feel good.
Is that right?
Yes.
Why don't they qualify?
I don't remember. Yeah, there is some technicality, I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe Hall & Oates is on the other side, just like Fleetwood Mac. There's some of those bands that
I think Fleetwood Mac absolutely not.
They
just
don't
a different
check
class.
All the boxes. Yeah. So, but I mean,
Fleetwood Mac is one of the five best American bands. I think if you're that high ranking, top 10 for sure. If you're that high ranking, you're above Yacht Rock. Yeah. Not, no offense to Yacht Rock, but I think there are quality that, of that height takes you out of this field.
You say that, and I in my opinion, I put Steely Dan up with the best.
No, I think Steely Dan's top 10, but I don't think Steely Dan's Yacht Rock. I oppose Steely Dan as Yacht Rock.
I mean, most of Yacht Rock is like more one-hit wonder range type stuff, or two, three-hit wonder type stuff.
And there's a
stuff,
little,
you know,
soft rockiness to it.
Oh, yeah.
Not in a bad way.
Right. I mean, Kenny Loggins is absolutely.
But Fleetwood Mac's not soft rock. The Chain is not soft rock.
Right. The texter here says, "What a fool believes." Yeah, that might be the best Yacht Rock song. That's on my Mount Rushmore. Spoiler alert, before the show ends, that will absolutely be on the Mount Rushmore of Yacht Rock songs, "What a Fool Believes" by the Doobie Brothers. "Ebony Eyes" is a Bob Welch song, according to Chip from Mount Juliet.
I only wish that Michael McDonald had chose to sing "What a Fool Believes" for George Plaster instead of "You Don't Know Me, You're My Brother." What is that? "You Don't Know Me, You're My Brother."
You're my brother.
What's the song?
Taking it to the street. There we go. This has been a really musical, lovely. I mean, I'm giving Ian so much fodder right now. So you suggested this topic, and we haven't really hit on it, and I'm kind of watching from afar, and it's every year. It kind of feels like the same thing now. But Caitlin Clark, for one thing, the poster thing has been, for people who aren't following along, there's this huge poster, 30 years WNBA, and she's not on it. And people
a lot of
out.
Other big players are not on
Diana
it.
Diana Taurasi, not on it. Candace Parker, not on it. And apparently there's a licensing thing. But I know what you're going to say. If that's the case, then, like, again, you look stupid as a league when you put out a poster with all these key players, including Caitlin Clark, who are not on it.
Get out in front of it.
Right.
Just say, like, here's our poster, but it had limitations based on whatever. Or don't put out a poster. Like, if you're putting out an anniversary poster and it doesn't include Diana Taurasi and Caitlin Clark and several other big-time
Candace
people.
Is
it worth putting out?
Right, or like just put it out just with like Lisa Leslie on it or something. You know what I mean? Like somebody who's on it who is one of the, because there's a lot of like marginal players on there. But Caitlin Clark, we continue to have the screaming. Unfortunately, like it's also totally baked into the culture war stuff, and it's like, you know, I have generally been against the sentiment of she has helped your league do so much, so no one should ever touch her. I feel like, you know, other players, it's foul someone hard. Hey, rookie, like they're competitors. They're trying to win a championship. I made the comparison. Bird and Magic completely saved the NBA. It was on tape delay NBA Finals. They saved the NBA before Michael Jordan was even in college. Did they come in the league and people say, "Oh, thank you, Magic. Here you go. Larry, have a open shot. We won't touch you." No, they beat their ass. Dr. J tried to kill Larry Bird. Great. It's competitors. It's sports. Now, I do feel like the league, there's some fair criticism. Like the other day, she got hit. I don't know if it was really a punch in the throat. I think it gets a little exaggerated. But it does seem like the league is trying a little too hard to not be in her corner or maybe not punish people enough when they do things. I mean, I think there's some fair criticism there about just how the league has approached it.
She got a technical.
Not other players, though.
She got a technical the other day for when there was kind of a scrum with some pushing and some stuff that needed to be sorted out by refs. And she kind of turned away from the play and clapped four times to the crowd, like to get the crowd riled up or whatever. And they called that like instigating. I mean, that is such horse bleep. And it seems to me, I agree with you, like, I think the NBA goes far too far the other way.
Star protection?
Yeah. Wemby, you know, gets every call, and their favorable guys get every call. And I don't want that for Caitlin Clark, but it seems to me they're going the opposite direction. They're like, this star has come in, and she's helped the league immensely, and we're going to make it clear that we're not favoring her in any way. She brings in a quarter of the money of the league, I've read, based on merchandising, ticket sales. They play games in bigger arenas when she's playing. The ratings are double when she's playing. And they just don't seem eager to strike any kind of balance that acknowledges her effect on the league. I don't want special rules for her, but you have to acknowledge that she is a special feature of the league. And they seem really determined to go the other way.
Yeah. I think they could do more from a marketing perspective.
And she doesn't want to appear to be a jerk, but like if she took her ball and went home, they would be in the gutter. And I like that she's speaking out a little bit more. Also,
there are other players that move the needle. You're right. She is a phenomenon. I mean, Paige Becker's coming to the league. Oh my gosh, the kid from Notre Dame is unbelievable this year. Olivia
Miles.
Yes, thank you. She's been like I think that she has helped bring eyeballs, but it's almost like think about like a subscription business, which you own one. I also think that like the idea that if she left it just goes back to what it was, I disagree with you.
She's my only interest in the league, pretty much.
There's some people that will be true. It will not die. The women's basketball, more stars coming. You know, wait till Juju Watkins comes from USC. Like, it's fun. There's a lot of great players with a lot of skill. So it's not going to die. But, yeah, she certainly was a phenomenon. And some people are like that and just want to watch her.
And my feed is loaded with people breaking down what's happening to her, all of these foul incidents, and the Stephanie White thing. Why is Stephanie White still the coach of that team? Remember when Will Levis threw the 4 touchdowns and Vrabel didn't mention his name and everybody made a huge thing out of it? This happens regularly with Stephanie White. They go through her, they film her locker room things, and she like touts everybody name by name and goes through things.
Well,
and then she casually mentions Caitlin Clark. Like, what is that about?
Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I mean, if you saw that huddle where she kicked out of the huddle, I mean, look, Caitlin Clark went at her hard and if you're the coach and you're trying to be in charge of that team, I don't think that they get along.
Well,
I can't look at that clip and think they get along. And I'll tell you another thing on Caitlin Clark. She's a great player. I love watching her, and some of this stuff is unfair. She's with the refs in that league, and she probably has fair criticism. I mean, you know, that clapping thing, I'm not trying to say she's Draymond Green, but Draymond Green gets technicals for raising his eyebrow now, right? He has a reputation. She's building that, and she is earning some of that.
Some.
With how she comes at them. She is earning some of it.
I don't like that in the NBA, coaches, players control the coaches. And all of that. But I think Stephanie White's out of her depth here. And I also think they made a mistake. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You'll know more about this than I am. But Caitlin Clark had the ball in her hands last year, right? She was the point guard. And they went and drafted a point guard who now has the ball in her hands and made Clark off ball. It doesn't seem to be working. They're better when she is pushing the ball up court. She's got incredible vision to set people up. And when she gets the ball back, she's cleared to shoot. It doesn't seem to be working as a team-building strategy. Where is the criticism of the GM who made that decision? And where is the coach adjusting to that not really working very well?
I was 100% in the camp of that's what needs to happen. Because she's taken such a beating with the ball in her hands. And if you think about Steph Curry, people think of him as a point guard. He's a great passer. But most of what Steph Curry does is as a two guard. He's running off screens. He gets shots. That's what I thought they needed to do to give her to one, again, so she's not constantly being banged with the ball in her hands. That just wears you down so you can make shots in the fourth quarter. So it doesn't look like it's working as well as hope. But I think the strategy makes sense, and they may need to find some balance there. But, I mean, her shooting percentage has not been great in the WNBA from three, like 33% or whatever. It should be better than that. So, to me, she needs more catch and shoot than she has been. So
I agree with that. But I need to see a coach that loves the best player in the league and the marquee player in the league. And it looks to me like Stephanie White hates her. And I just don't see how that's healthy for the team,
for the league, for anything.
Stephanie White should have been fired during this season.
What
are they waiting?
She may still be. I mean, that you know how this. I promise you, this will work just like any other league. The coach who butts heads with a star player, it's not the star player who's going
to
end up.
Well, how far back do we have to go to find Stephanie White real success? She didn't have it here.
Yeah, she won a championship with them before here. That was the
We're going back quite a ways.
You're going back a decade. Yeah,
she rubs me really the wrong way. I don't understand how you mismanage a team, mismanage the league. I mean, this is not a hard thing to get right, and they're getting it wrong on a lot of levels. Feature your best player. League, feature the best player. Team, feature the best player. Make her happy and help her succeed. That's not a difficult formula.
That sounded like a rant, but when we come back, we'll come up with another one. Robbie and Rex are 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Why are people still saying stupid crap like this?
And I screwed two buddies in Vegas.
Also nicknamed Dr. Sex.
Roger Clemens is in George Steinbrenner's box. I can't believe it. The man's sitting in a box. Oh, my God.
Love ball, love ball, love ball. Three idiots in the front office are, like, coked up. Shoot me up, baby. Let's go. Okay.
Drake May's probably better than Will Levis.
Get out of here, Mayo boy.
I proceeded to spend the day in the bathroom or asleep.
Hey, guys, you guys need a plumber?
If I did, I would have washed my hands, I assure you.
Like, it's just the decline of society.
Society is falling apart.
I'm absolutely going Mason Rudolph over Drake May. Gosh, you got to have context on these things. The Rex Rant brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters most and served by the wine cellar in Hendersonville. The context.
Why did you like Levis over May? You can't even remember the context.
No, you're the one. Well, you're the one in that clip that was like, well, I mean, Levis, May might be better than Levis, I guess, right? That was you.
No, I said, I'm absolutely going Levis over Drake May. Those are the words that came out of your mouth.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly not, what
over, I said. Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. I'm sorry. Yes. Even worse.
Right. The point was as the backup quarterback because he was a veteran and Drake May was a rookie.
Still. Oh, that fixes everything.
You got to understand the proper context. I don't even know what we should talk about here. I mean,
you're supposed to have a rant, aren't you?
Well, I thought you're supposed to have a rant.
I was not assigned a rant. You don't have the power to assign.
You kind of just had a rant. I will follow up on this because this is where, you know, I think people go a little far. I mean, we'll see. I'm going to project right now that, for example, the kid here at Vanderbilt who just finished her sophomore year, when she gets to the WNBA, people are going to want to watch her play. She's going to be incredible. She's going to be electric. The sport of women's basketball is soaring. Is Caitlin Clark at the front of that? Absolutely. Someone texted me that, well, you know, she is the reason, right? And again, I give her the most credit. You said yourself, you're a person who you just try to seek her out, and that's fine. This texter says, if I'm Caitlin Clark, I'm going to go overseas, play basketball, sit back and watch the WNBA become irrelevant again because they basically push out the most popular player of all time. That's the part that I disagree with. I do not think that the WNBA is going to be irrelevant. I think there are future stars. At some point, she's going to retire, and I don't think then the league is going to immediately just collapse.
Yeah, but 10 years of growth with her will
sure
help the league.
No question.
If she left right now, it would be tragic.
I agree with your premise from a league perspective. I don't like star protection, so I don't advocate for that. But star marketing for sure. Star, like, put, like you said, and I agree. I've experienced the same thing. There's a lot of times like, why is it not in my face like when she plays and stuff like that? I totally agree with that. Look, from a league perspective,
and I think they've dropped off on
they
that.
They have a bad.
I used to be able to find her very easily, and now I'm not seeing it.
I think they have a bad commissioner, for sure, and I think that she is trying to strike that balance because there's people who are like, well, you're putting too much. Caitlin's like you got to go by the numbers. It is what it is. It's reality. But the whole idea that like she is the linchpin and then everything collapses without her, I reject it. Paige Beckers is going to be someone that people want to follow. There's a lot of there's a lot of young players and some who are coming into the league who are very exciting to watch. People, it's a growing sport, the women's college basketball. You could say, well, Caitlin, you know, the Caitlin effect, but, like, she's gone. She's been gone. And women's college basketball numbers are fantastic.
I agree. But the front door to this whole thing is Caitlin Clark. There are a ton of people like me. She's the door. Open the door, and then I'll discover all this other stuff. I know Paige Beckers, but I'm not compelled to turn it on to see Paige Beckers. But if I open it and turn it on to see Caitlin Clark, and then I see some of these other people, I'll get into some of those storylines and everything. But my route in is her, and you're not using that effectively enough for growth.
Lenny says, the WA is just like professional wrestling. They're making you talk about something because they're manufacturing what is going on. They're picking on Caitlin and getting attention. Mission accomplished by the WNBA. I think the difference is that they actually play games that are actual competition.
Not scripted.
Yeah, we got some interesting takes today. Texter says, women's basketball is booming and the Lady Vols are irrelevant. Sigh. That is true. That is a fair point. And I don't know when that changes. I don't know when that changes. It's been a rough go. And look, again, right here at Vanderbilt, and the recruiting continues to, you know, if you look at all the Vanderbilt programs, obviously what Clark Lee did last year is still unthinkable in football. And I really like what men's basketball has going on with Mark Byington. You know, Tim Corbin next year, they'll be back. But I'll tell you, Shea Ralph.
Yeah, she's done nice work.
There's, you know, you got to be able to play well in the big moments, and they did not in the tournament last year. But, like, this is could be a national championship program.
Recruit Rutgers Prep. That's the key to
That's
the Vanderbilt
right.
program.
That's
Look,
right.
At UT, now I know you love every coach coming in.
Sure. You got Stilly texted you about my Stephanie White.
Yeah, you love Stephanie White coming
yeah.
in.
Yeah, Stilly. Stilly gets excited about
it. But it seems like UT hired two good coaches in a row, Lady Vols, and neither of them have panned out.
Well, I think that, no, look.
I mean, resume-wise and the way they present themselves, both seem like, hey, they...
You're
they,
talking about Kelly Harper previously?
Yeah, and now Caldwell.
I think that Kelly Harper was a lazy hire by Philip Fulmer.
Yeah.
I don't think he put enough into that search. Kelly Harper is a fine coach, and that's what she already demonstrated at that point. She's a fine coach.
Where'd she go now?
She's at Missouri now, and she's fine. She was NC State. She was fine. Missouri State, fine. Tennessee, fine. But you're trying to be a national championship, and she's a legendary player, and to me that's a problem because then you can't separate
the
two.
Very much.
Danny White is known as being a coach finder. You know, Nate Oates among those people. I just think that he messed up with this one with Caldwell. The insistence on the pressing stuff and having two completely different units going in and out, like, it's just, this is the highest level. This is the SEC. And it just doesn't work. And now all the players apparently just a total mutiny, and I don't think it's going to end well. So.
And you got to be just a level. You're counting on depth there when you're starting. I mean, if you're counting on two units, you got to have 10 good players. Yeah. We'll start with 5 good players.
There's a reason in the NBA nobody presses, because when you get to a certain level of basketball skill, they're going to carve you up. And that's what she's found out in the SEC. All right, we come back. Charles Robinson talking to NFL. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5 The Game.